This morning we are continuing on a journey of the season of Lent, and last couple of weeks, this is the third week of Lent. A couple of weeks ago I talked about how Jesus gives us comfort, which I think we all want. We all want that sense of comfort. And last week we had a good group of people here, and we have a great group of people here again today. And we talked about how Jesus gives us peace, which is another thing that I think we long for, is that sense of peace in our life, that sense of knowing that, you know what, it's going to be okay. Yeah, this road that we're on can be filled with turns and bumps and all kinds of things, but in the end, it's going to be okay. We're not alone, and that God is with us, and that there's a purpose for a lot of these things, or for this life that we have and the direction that we're on, but also that whatever trials we might be going through, that God's going to turn them into a triumph, and that's all part of putting our trust and faith in Christ. And today we want to talk about love. Now, I was thinking about this week. You know, we kind of throw this word love around sometimes. I mean, certainly there's the love that we feel, that agape love, but we also have love. We have love for our spouse. We have love for our children. Hopefully our children love us back. We have the love between a grandparent and a grandchild, or a great-grandparent and a great-grandchild. But I think we throw the word love around sometimes in ways that just kind of makes a mockery of it. You know, we say, well, we love the Blazers, or we love coffee. We even have mugs, you know, that says I love coffee on it, or we have things that we just kind of throw out that word love. So today I want to talk about love in a different way. I want to talk about love as abiding in Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 15. And we're going to be looking at some verses today. Now, as I go through this message, I'm going to be kind of all over the place between Matthew 15, verse 1 through 17. So just bear with me. But this is what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, but remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. For I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, for this is my command, love each other. So we begin with this, looking at verse 5, where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't do anything. It doesn't mean that. It certainly doesn't mean that we just kind of sit back and wait for God to do something. It doesn't mean that we have a kind of attitude that, well, God's going to do something or he may not do something, so I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what he's going to do. In the meantime, you know, I'll go to church or I'll go to Bible study or I'll do my prayer, my devotion. But other than that, I'm just going to sit back and wait. That's not what it means. What Jesus is saying here is that we can do nothing by our own power, by our own desires, by our own wants. We can't accomplish anything. Yes, we may have success, but it's certainly not going to be not going to last very long. Because like we've talked about before, when we talked about having peace, is that you know, we get a taste of it, and we like that, we want that, and we'll do everything we can to get that, and then once we've got it, we enjoy it for a short period of time, and then something else comes around, and we want that. And so he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, like a vine and its branches, he tells us. Branches that abide in the vine not only produce fruit, but they produce fruit that will last. Now, I can't help but believe that whatever you do, whether it is as a parent or a boss or a church leader, a teacher, whatever it is, I can't help but believe that you want your efforts to amount to something, right? You want to see something good come out of your efforts. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here in John 15. What he says about abiding in him can help us to understand that. So today I want to ask three questions that will help us to understand this whole idea of the love of Christ and how we can abide in him in this society, in this world that we live in. Number one, we want to talk about what it means to abide in Christ. So we want to ask the what question, but then we want to ask the why. Why is it so important that we abide in Christ? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, right? That we should abide in Christ. That it should be important to us. But I think sometimes we don't make it as important as we think we do. And then, of course, the third question is how? How do we abide in Christ? So we can begin by asking the question, what does it mean? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, it means to take, Jesus is saying, take your life from me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And as a branch receives life from the vine, you receive life from Christ. I think we know how it works from a scientific point of view. A branch has to remain organically connected to the vine, or what happens? It dies, right? You cut off the limb of a tree, it won't take long before the leaves will turn colorless, shrivel up, and the limb becomes brittle. But as long as it abides on the tree, it takes its life from the tree and it blossoms. In the same way with Jesus, there is life in him. And if we take our life from him, as a branch does from the main stalk of the tree, what we will see in our lives is an abundant yield, an abundant life. And I don't think there's anyone here today that wouldn't want to have an abundant life, right? But I think sometimes in our lives, we just kind of think, well, you know, I've got this far in life, and this is probably as good as it's going to get, so from here on, I'm just going to sail through. I'm just going to relax and just enjoy the ride, and I'm not worried about doing anything crazy at this point, because what's the point? Maybe some of you are thinking, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, so, you know, I'm kind of going to have to accept the consequences of those mistakes. And no. My mother is going to be 96 years old in a few weeks. And a few months ago when I was over to help her move, I was struck by this woman who, at 95, still wants to enjoy life. She wanted to have her chairs and tables set up in that bedroom just so she could look out in the morning and see the animals and see the sky and see the trees. This summer, we're planning on spending some time as a family in Seaside and renting a house for a few days. And she said, I will do it as long as I have a place where I can see God's creation. How many of us still have that excitement about life? Yes, life hits us once in a while. It knocks the wind out of us, but yet we were called to have an abundant life. Not just wake up in the morning and say, I want to just survive. No, we want to get up in the morning. We want to live. I hope that's your prayer every morning you get up, that you put a smile on your face and say, today I'm going to live. Because Christ abides in me. I'm not going to just survive it. I'm not just going to be grateful that I got through it, but I am going to live. And I'm going to show that life to the people that I see. It doesn't mean, of course, that we will be successful in everything we do. But it does mean that we will see Christ's desire for us come to fruition. So that's the first question. That's why we need to abide in Christ, so that we can have an abundant life, so that we can have a life that shines brightly for other people to see, because we need to be able to do that. It's all about our character. It's all about our integrity. It's all about what people see that becomes attractive. And that's when people start coming to you and saying, I don't know what it is about you, but that's what I want in my life. The second question is why? Why is it so important? How do you answer that, I guess, depends on whether you want your life to amount to anything or not. What about you? What do you want people to say about you? What do you want people to know about you? Do you want your life to have meaning and purpose? Again, I think sometimes we just kind of get into a rut and we just kind of accept whatever happens as happens and we don't even try. We are created for a reason. He says, I am the vine, you are, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He goes on to say, if anyone does not remain in me, it's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Is that the kind of life we want? A life where we're just kind of tossed away because we don't even care? We don't even try. Become useless. There's a principle at work here, and it's a principle that will help us to see why it's important that we abide in Christ. And the principle is simple. You can write this down. No root, no fruit. Very simple. No root, no fruit. That is, it is Jesus who, like a root in the soil, draws from the life-giving stores of grace and nutrients, and moisture, as it were, that are needed to bear fruit. And you may ask, well, what is this fruit that we are to bear? What is this fruit that we are supposed to be like? And the fruit of being in Jesus is being like Jesus. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we are to love others in the same way that Jesus loves us. Listen to verse 12. The Lord says, my command is this, love each other. How? As I have loved you. So this is something that I've had to learn a long time, because I've had to try to deal with this idea of, you know, reading the scriptures and listening to sermons and Bible studies and doing my own devotions and hearing different people speak about Christ and how Christ lives in us. And The thing that I learned is what flows into us ultimately is going to be flowing out of us. What we have received, we give. What comes to us must be shown through us. We have been loved, and we continue to be loved by God. So, what does that mean for us? It means that we show love. Put it a simple way, Jesus in, Jesus out. We show His love for us. But there's another reason for this. There's another reason that we take our life from Jesus and there is fruit. And when there is fruit, what happens? God is glorified. Again, that's one of the things. We need to stop this idea that we're coming together just to be together and give each other a high five or a hug or whatever and say, boy, aren't we special because, you know, we're a part of this family of God and we're good people because we come to church, because then it just becomes a social club. We come here on Sunday morning so that we can glorify God, because it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's glorifying God. Verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Why? Because when you do that, you're showing yourselves to be my disciples. You were created in the image of God. You were designed to reflect God's glory. But in our sinfulness, we kind of distort that reflection. But because of God's love for us, His mercy, His grace, God has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we have become new creations. And because we are new creations, we are able to bring glory to the Father by bearing much fruit. Sometimes we have to get out of our own way to allow Christ to really, truly abide in us. And if I was to ask you this morning, is Jesus abiding in you? You probably would raise your hand. And that's probably true. He does abide in you in some form or fashion, but how much of it do we give to Him? And how much do we use for ourselves? So abiding in Jesus is important, because if you are not abiding in Him completely, 100%, your life is not bearing fruit for God. There's a constant battle. And there's only one way your life can produce fruit for God. You must abide in Christ. You must take your life from Him. Which leads us to the third and final question. How do you do this? How do you abide in Christ so that you bear fruit for the glory of God? Jesus tells us, and it's going to probably surprise you. In fact, you may find it too simplistic. For that reason, you may not agree with me, or you may think that's just too simple, it's too easy. But it is what Jesus says. And I do believe that I think when it comes to our faith and it comes to our walk with God, I think we overthink it. And we just spend so much time discussing about what our walk should be and how we should act and how we should talk, and we overanalyze it. We overthink it, and we spend so much energy trying to figure it out, then it's very simple. Allow Christ to abide in you. Trust in Him. Love Him as He loves you. Love others as He loves you. It's very simple. But there's two ways in which we can learn to abide in Him: through Scripture, through prayer. I told you it might surprise you. Maybe some of you are disappointed. Maybe you thought it was something big or grand thing, something elaborate. Maybe you thought it was something pretty novel. But the reality is, it's just common sense. It's right there from the lips of Christ. Let me show you. John 15:1. You recall how Jesus said that the Father is the vine grower or the gardener. And He says, the vine grower removes every branch that bears no fruit. But then He says this, but every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. How does the Father do this? Through His Word. Verse 3 says, you're already clean. Why? Because of the words Jesus spoke to you. Have you ever seen a pruning knife? It's a pretty mean-looking thing, I have to say. But used in the right hands, used by someone who knows how to use it, it creates great health. And that's what the Father does. He takes the branches and cuts away the dead parts. He shapes the plant by choosing or controlling the direction of growth. He prunes to preserve the vitality of the branch and to maximize its yield. That's what He's always doing in our lives. Because even though we desire to abide in Him, there are still those things that we need to have taken off from time to time. Whether it's, you know, an attitude or our thoughts or behaviors that are going to hinder our spiritual growth. I'm reminded of Hebrews 4:12, where the Word of God says, for the Word of God is living and active, right? What does it say? Sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's what the Word of God does. So while it is tearing away or cutting away at those rotten attitudes that sometimes glare up in our hearts and our thoughts, at the same time, it shapes the patterns of our thinking and living through the commandments that it contains, the Word of God. Verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, which is the same thing as saying abiding in Him. So the Word of God, you see, shows you what you do, what you need to do, but it also shows you what you should not be doing. It teaches as well as corrects. And when you saturate yourself in Christ, abide in Christ, whatever you say and do is not of your own making, it is of Christ. Now the second thing that happens is prayer. Now, twice in this passage, Jesus speaks of prayer. He says in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Again, in verse 16, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, that seems like a very bold promise, but it must not be misconstrued because Jesus is not portraying God as some sort of cosmic bellhop that's eager to indulge your every wish. I remember in my young life, living away from home, I remember how many times I believed in the scripture that said, ask and it shall be given to you. I believed in this scripture that if you pray, God will give it to you. My father would send me these little cards with scripture, and anytime I was going through a problem, he would just simply say, pray about it. And I believed that if I prayed for it, God would give it to me. That's what I was thinking. It's kind of a selfish thought, wasn't it? Because I would pray for relationships that I wanted to happen in my life. I prayed for jobs that I wanted to have. I prayed for situations that they would turn in my favor. And when they didn't, I would constantly be going back to God in tears, crying out, why? But here is the thing. The key to praying is that we are to want what Christ wants for us, and then to ask for it. That's what it means to pray in His name. When we pray what He wants, we will receive it. And what do we want? There you go. We want God to be glorified. That's what we want. It kind of takes us away from the selfishness sometimes when we go before God. By abiding in Jesus, He is the vine, we are the branches. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. No root, no fruit. Jesus says, those who remain in me and I in them bear much fruit. So here's your question this morning. And this is a question I've been thinking of all week. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder. I wonder if I'm doing enough. Or I'm wondering if what I'm doing is what God really wants me to do, or is it just my selfish desires? Is your life bearing fruit today? Is what you're doing letting people know who you are? Let's find out. You guys know about sponges and why they work, you know. So you fill your sponge with whatever it is that you fill it with. And then what do you usually do with a sponge? You wring it out, right? So whatever goes into your sponge comes out of the sponge. So what are the things in your life today that are squeezing you? What are those things? And as you squeeze it, what are the things that are coming out? Is it anger, bitterness? Are you ready to lash out at the first person you see? Or is it the sweet Spirit of God? What is it that's coming out of your sponge today? The bottom line is, again, what flows in flows out. Are you taking the Spirit of God? Or are you just taking in your own frustrations and worries? Because when you do, that's what comes out. What you love, remember, what your affections are becomes your direction. What you truly love is shown by your actions and your words. What's coming out today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning for each one of us, as I know that all of us are kind of living in this world, and you know, we're filling our sponges up with a lot of stuff, and it's squeezing us. And what squeeze, when you squeeze it, what comes out of us? What is it that people are seeing in us? Are we just getting angry and frustrated at the world? Are we lashing out at people just because we've got up on the wrong side of the bed, or we don't agree with what they said, and so we're going to get mad at them for that? Or are we going to love people? Even in the midst of those things happening in our lives, are we going to allow Christ to truly abide in us so that you are glorified, that we can grow closer to you through prayer and through Scripture, so that we can find it in us the strength and the courage to show love instead of show anger? I pray that for every one of us here today, myself included, that we take this opportunity to say to God, here I am. I want you to have all of me, because I want Christ to abide in me 100%. And I want to feel that Spirit today. We just pray this in your name. In the name of Son, your Son, Jesus. Amen.